It's Father's Day, and just a few moments I want to share, and I want you to turn to Colossians 3:17, a very familiar verse. And I just want to share just a few minutes with dads, because God's put a message on my heart today, dealing with healing and ministry and what God's word says to comfort you in the midst of praying, in the midst of believing, in the midst of when we see answers, when we anticipate answers, and God has the answer every time we pray for healing. And I didn't say he guarantees everyone healing, especially instantaneously. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes we don't see it in this life. But see, that's just it. God's not bound by the time that we are. We all want things yesterday, don't we? Take it away. Take the pain away. I want it done now. And yet we want it done soon. But you know what? I just what God's put on my heart, I want to share that with you after I share about dads. And I want you to know, dads, the most important thing you can do for your children, the most important thing, is to love their mother well and to make sure the words come out of your mouth to give them a blessing from God, to voice it to them, to bless them. Now, here's a few things that the Lord has put on my heart for you. Some words for dads. Hear this. Relationships are more important than money. Speak the truth in love. Say, I'm sorry when needed. Say and show to your children that you love their mom. And tell your children, I am so proud of you. Despite of victories, successes, and even failures, because I pray through your life, fathers, you showed them both. We're not always successful. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we make mistakes. Another phrase he told me to say was, please forgive me. Those words are important for dads today. Because some things you can do for your children and your spouse. Here's a phrase. I am here for you. To your children or your spouse, what's on your mind? The phrase, despite what your children want now, or maybe your spouse even looks to turn to say, God knows the time. It's a good phrase to share with your family always. Because we tend to want things done in our time, you know? Anyone ever like a rush job? We don't you wish it was as easy as priority mail or express mail? Just bring a little bit more tithe in this week and he'll do it in 3 or 5 days. No, God knows the perfect time. Not just the time, the perfect time. And your children need to hear that my boundaries I set for you, I do because I love you and desire to protect you. Those are things that as children experience and hear, those are the things that fathers that follow Jesus will speak forth. Now I see, if you want to be a trucker today or a doctor or even just a basic laborer anywhere, they have trainings for you, they have books for you to read, they have training times and everything else. And do you notice that you never got one for a dad? You just kind of saw what you experienced and took it from there one day at a time. But there really is a blueprint. The blueprint for your whole life, men, is the Word of God. Look at the words that Jesus spoke. Look at the things that are taught from the Apostle Paul throughout Scripture. Your children are watching, husbands, and I say this as one of you. Greatest thing I can do for my children is that my wife knows that she is honored and far above anyone else in this world. I love you all, but nothing compared to what I love my Robin. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever done this, fathers, but in front of your children, you get frustrated with your spouse and you kind of disrespect them, dishonor them. I've had to repent before my daughters. I am sorry I've done this. I am sorry before God and repent before you, my daughters, because what I say changes their perspective and their attitude towards their mother. Whatever I say, good, bad, or ugly. You don't think they listen to your dads. I want to let you know your voice is louder and clearer than any other voice in this world. I don't understand it, but it is. And I'm not belittling mother's voice, let me tell you. You're nurturing your love, your power, but there's something I can't describe it. And I want to share this passage with you. Colossians 3:17, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And I would say, and whatever you do for your wife and for your children, your family, whether it be word or deed, fathers, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father in heaven. Whatever you do matters. Whatever you do, do it as unto Jesus Christ. And one last thing I want to leave with you, dads. Make sure your children, you don't ever have to perform to please me. Because if kids did everything right, they wouldn't be kids. They're learning. They're growing. Shoot, I'm still learning. Anyone learning here older than me? 52 or older. Anyone still learning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Then guess what? Really, what we come against many times is our expectations of our children. How much grace do you need? How much mercy do you need each new day? God's willing. Are we? To God be the glory in all that you do, dads. You're so vital and so important. God bless you with wisdom, with love and compassion for your family. May they see Jesus in and through you. Thank you, fathers. Amen. Now I want to go to John chapter 14. Now, we're dealing with some impossibilities around here. And things that are very dear to us, like people. They should be. But I want you to know, the Word of God teaches that his disciples, his followers, will be doing the things that Jesus did. And I want you to know, one third of Jesus' ministry was healing the sick. Now, a lot of people get discouraged because they don't see it happening very often. But there's some reasons. And the biggest thing I want to share with you first is John 14, verses 11 through 14. I want to reiterate what I just told you, that it's true. The Word of God says these things about you and I. In verse 11, it says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it." Now, Jesus went about healing many diseases. This says right here that if we have faith in him, we will do the same thing. Now, anybody get nervous about thinking about you're going to go and guess what? It's not you healing anybody. It's you through faith in Jesus Christ. God desires and will heal people through his people. Amen?
Yes.
And let's first and foremost, I want to take you to James. I'm going to take you around the Word today. Okay, and I know I said 1 Corinthians 14. Well, the Spirit of God told me something this week. He said, if you guys can't get over 1 Corinthians 14, you won't see divine healing. Now let me kind of give you some understanding on that. If we can't get past tongues and respect and honoring one another, and we can't agree on what the Word of God teaches, not what our opinion is, or what we think is right and wrong, how will we ever believe God for divine healing if we can't find unity in the least of the gifts? How about the miracles? Those great, the things that are important to God. If this wasn't important to God, Jesus wouldn't have shown us. Remember, he was the express image of the Father. He showed us this is what God's interested in. And it's the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans. Healing, wholeness, salvation, deliverance from evil, from darkness. That's the things that God is interested in. A third of his ministry was healing. Now that sometimes scares us more than anything. I want you to, as you turn to James, and you're probably already there, I'm the last one there. James chapter 1, because this is hard to take for some people, okay? James 1, 2 through 8. But there's an important thing here. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, probably if we were really, really honest, we'd probably say, I don't really find joy in facing various kinds of trials. Because it says, because you know. See, this is the first thing, we have to know this. Whenever you go through various trials, it's the testing of your faith, developing perseverance in you. In other words, you're not in here for a 50-yard dash with God. In other words, he knows if you're going to go, you know, all out until the first thing, and that thing's going to throw you for a loop, and it's over, and you're going to walk away. God's interested in you and me for walking the long haul to the end. He promises to be to the end. We can't bow that, can we? We can make a rash. Lord, I'm with you to the end. Peter did too, didn't remember that? Didn't he say that, man? Man, there's nothing that's going to take me. I'm with you, man. Till this morning, when the rooster crows three times, before that day, you're going to deny even knowing me. So let's not make that rash vow. But God, he's interested. He knows that we need to develop, that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, guess what? Perseverance takes some time. In other words, I don't think it's you go through one thing, if you get through it, wow, the rest of your life's going to be a rose garden. I don't see that. You know, sometimes we see multiple tough things to go through, and if we can get through this time, we can get through anything. until the anything comes. And then you say again, and if we can get through this, we can get through anything. And you realize, guess what? In this life, we need perseverance, don't we? The ones that have been around a while, have you gone through multiple valleys in your life? Amen. Multiple dark times? Multiple things that, well, you're going to need God. That's why it's a walk with the Lord. Your walk is a daily, because you need him daily. Today, in each of your lives, there's enough to worry about today. Amen. Yesterday, what are you worrying about? Something that cannot be changed. Transformation can happen today in Jesus Christ. Amen. Tomorrow might not ever come. So, don't worry about that either. How many people have like the man that has millions of dollars, have looked to can't wait to retire, and I'm gonna sit in a hammock and drink drinks with umbrellas for the rest of my days, the last 20 years. Do you think God's interested in that as a follower of Christ? No. Guess what? That didn't come. I haven't seen vacations here. My vacation starts when I have my last breath on this earth. And that's not a vacation. That's pure joy, baby. That's going to be in the presence of the Lord forever. Man, oh man. So now, this life isn't going to be that rose garden. So it says, if anybody completely mature here and complete, I'm not. Anyone not lacking anything? Sorry. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But this is the key. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all that he does. See, we can't even take what today shows us, because that would be by feelings, wouldn't it? That would be by what things look like today. Remember, the eternal things are the things that are unseen. The temporal things are the report you get from your doctor. That's temporal. That's a doctor saying, this is all I can do. That's true. He's at least honest. This is all he can do. But what does God say he can do? Anything is possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And let's trust him until we don't have to trust him anymore. In other words, when we see him, you'll be in his presence. Amen? So this is kind of telling us here, God's there for you. If you need wisdom to get through this time, if you need, Lord, increase my faith, because I want to persevere. I don't want to drop out here. I don't want to get discouraged, because I think sometimes we've taught that it's guaranteed here, or it's guaranteed instantaneous. No, some healings actually take maybe weeks or even months to happen in people before they manifest. And some are in this world time, and some aren't. But see, God has it covered, and remember, God's the one with the perfect timing. And you say, you mean God makes us go through all these tough things for, like, tests? Yes, but not like an evil teacher or something. They're not trying to find out what you don't know. You ever get tests like that? I get tests from professors in Bible college that, you know, you get 500 pages of reading. 500 pages. You're circling, you're highlighting, you're staying up all night eating so much popcorn, drinking so much coffee, you don't even like it. That was me. And you're ready for a test, and he says, on page 52, what did this phrase mean? Yeah, I remember that in 500 pages. You know, in 10 little questions, he looks at it, it's a short quiz, but there are all these little things, and you didn't tell me to stop on page 52. I just whipped on through, and you know, I highlighted stuff, but wow. In other words, you get out of me and say, this test was really seeing how much I didn't know, because it didn't help me. But you know what? Everything that you're going through is best because God knows how to again remember in everything you go, every circumstance, all his goal is, I want your whole heart. He's trying to capture it. So man, this perseverance, this growing in him, yes, it's a constant faith building. And why? Because you'll have more influence on people around you. You'll tell more people that, guess what? The world is going through, just like us, tough times with no answer, with no peace, with no joy, no strength. You wonder why it's chaotic. They turn to everything else the enemy has waiting for them to not only control them, but to destroy them too. You have the Lord. Turn to Philippians with me, chapter 4. I'm going to take you around now. Stay with me. Now, I would tell you, for the rest of this sermon, write down every verse. If you got something to write with, write down every verse I give you and go back to it. I started with John 14, 11 through 14. I started with that. The second one was James chapter 1, 2 through 8. Yes, I am your pastor, and I am kind of giving you homework today. Don't take it lightly. Take it home. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and show you the Word of God. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Remember now it said, consider it pure joy when you go through various trials, when you go through difficulties. Well, Pastor, are you saying it's easy? I didn't say that. If we're going to walk by faith, we have to make choices daily. I will rejoice in the Lord. Even the psalmist, you know, read through it. The Word of God is real for you. David had every emotion in the world, went through everything, looked at the unfairness of the world around him, complained to God, but at the end of the stanza, at the end of the psalm, he would say, but I will put my trust in you. But you are faithful, God. Even though I don't understand, I will trust that you are faithful. That's going through it all, persevering to the end. Even when he made decisions himself and got himself in the land of Sheol, or hell itself, making his bed there, having Uriah killed, committing adultery. My gosh, that was a man after God's own heart. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he turned away from those things and to God. He didn't try to justify in any way. When he was told by the prophet, you're the man that stole and did these things, he had nobody counseling. He shut the doors, ripped his robes, ashes over his head. He went into mourning, wouldn't eat anything. Why? Because he knew he had sinned before God. That's a man after God's own heart. Knowing your condition and repenting and going to God, because he's not fooled by any of our church faces or the mask that we put on. So he says, rejoice in him always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, beyond it. Even though we think we know a lot of things in this world, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, if you go back a chapter, chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, it says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I will press on to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Why did he take hold of you? For eternity's sake. He took hold of you for other people. And so, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I will do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, y'all, that's someone who's gone through it all. And with all the things that he could justify, well, where were you here? I got stoned here. Where were you, Lord? You know, like, we're supposed to get out of those things. I was in prison. You let me get shipwrecked, blah, blah, blah. And he had a whole list. You knocked me off my donkey. What are you, don't like me? Yeah, he loved you. Can you imagine? You get knocked off your donkey because you're loved. Most people say, well, get up and dust yourself off. What's wrong with you? You want to fight someone? I'm calling you out. You will be used as my vessel. See, we're constantly being sanctified and separated for his holy use. And see, it's right here. Don't look back. But what's ahead for a Christian? Remember, all of us, this place is not your home. I don't care how old you are. This is not your home. You're just passing through. And this goes, God tells us, like the grass of the field. Here today, gone tomorrow. Or here today, higher tomorrow. Because I have to mow it like crazy. Amen. We love rain, but my gosh, every 5 days I have to get on the mower. You know, but see, God says that this is a short life. Know it. Don't get shocked. Don't be surprised. And so let's move on. Let's see Jesus in action. Mark chapter 1. Now see, there's all kinds of ways that God heals people and has. So don't get upset with people doing different things asking for healing, because there was one time that, remember the disciples? Jesus, man, they're healing in your name, and they're not with us, they're not doing it our way. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. If the Father's healing, to him be the glory. Wow, thank you. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus, filled with compassion, reached out his hand and touched the man. And here's the phrase you need to hear: "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now that's one instance. But the man asked, and the key is, I want you to know, Jesus is willing today. He is willing to heal today. You say, well, how come it doesn't? Let's go on. Let's look at John 11, verse 4. Now, sometimes we have to determine things is this sickness that we're walking through going to end in death? Look what happened here. Lazarus was sick. Jesus is told, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, can you imagine now? Lazarus was dead for a number of days. Jesus hesitated and waited, but he knew that this wasn't as unto death. Lazarus was going to live again. But do you realize it wasn't as important for him to live again as it was the ones to hear and see the resurrection of Lazarus? Do you notice he said, Father, this wasn't about Lazarus, and this was about those who are gathered. It's for them, that you may be glorified, that they may know that you have sent me. Wow. Well, wasn't Lazarus happy? I'm sure he was. Except when you think about it in eternity terms, do I have to come back here? I can't imagine being in the presence of the Lord, but I don't want to come back here. Now, that doesn't mean I don't love my wife, my children, and love you all. I love you all. But if I'm gone, let me go. Let me go. I'll dance for you. I'll even wait for you. Amen. Right beside the gate. Amen. Hallelujah. But my gosh. But see, that's just it. More of this is because we love people that we don't want them to go. But I want you to know that God has it all in his hands. That's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. She was looking ahead one day. He says, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. So, We're going to face that, you know. Maybe some, maybe all of us before he returns. We think it's close. I don't know how close is close, but it's close. But still, he said this in verse 25 of chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? In other words, he's saying, we look at it as an end. God looks at it as a continuation. If you're his child, eternity's already yours. It's just a continuation. Look at Luke chapter 8 if you want to see another instance. And this is a beautiful passage. This is a lady that was going to get to Jesus. 8 verses 43 through 48. Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. It's a long time. But no one could heal her. In other words, she tried. She tried everything the doctors, everything the world could give us at that time. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against." Now, many people touched Jesus in that crowd. I want you to know that. It wasn't just her, but there was a difference. Jesus said, "Someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. Can you imagine the fear? She actually broke through the crowd and touched the rabbi. A woman in this day and time. She came trembling, falling at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had instantly been healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now this instance, there's a leper at one time that says, "If you're willing, I am willing." Here's a woman that is going to touch him. Somehow, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. By her faith, healed in Jesus' name. Jesus knew it. But I want you to know, he didn't touch her, she touched him. She touched him. Pure faith. So let's keep doing what the word says. Luke 17. You're writing these down, verses 1 through 10. This is the word of God, y'all. Now this is something I want you to know. This is the gist of this message in these 10 verses is increase our faithfulness. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves." So how you live? And I was saying not only to dads, but moms, sisters, brothers, it all matters. If your brother sins, rebuke him, speaking the love and truth. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, "I repent," forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Does anyone need to speak that forth to the Lord? I do. Lord, increase my faith. Anyone else? You don't have to be shy here. This is God's church, y'all. If we're shy here, my gosh, we must be ashamed of God. No, I need my faith increased. Yes. Let's contend for this, y'all. Yes. Do we not want to contend for Ann?
Yes.
Contend for Melissa? We're going to have to fight for this, y'all. Yes. I'm going to call this church to fast 1 day a week until the Lord says to stop. to stop from eating solid food for a whole day, and in the place of your eating, to pray and contend for divine healing. Amen?
Yes.
Do you receive that today?
Yes.
I hope so. Because I'm not saying it lightly. The Lord put this on my heart, and I'm saying it right now, and we're going to do it as long as He says to.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
All right. So, it says, He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and they will obey you. Now look at this. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. In other words, he's trying to say here, watch out when God does show up and does this healing. Because we're gonna start, oh man, you must be special. You have the anointing of God. Don't share God's glory with anyone. We're just doing what we've been called to do. Back to John chapter 11 when we started, or 14, I mean. You will do the things that Jesus did and even greater things. So with His Spirit and with the power of His Word, we have to be about doing these things. And if God shows up, which I believe He's going to, and do miracles in our midst, don't you dare say anything to anyone about how special we are. It's all about Him. Because that's actually a religious spirit. Because what that does, it causes divisions in the body that, oh, they're the special ones. You got to go to them and pray with them. Oh my gosh, the pastor's got, you know what, y'all? You can receive a miracle right in your own home without the pastor. Can you believe that? And what if I don't answer my phone, which I will. Amen. I am dedicated to answer my phone as soon as I can. But I still miss some and got to you the day after or sometime after. If I can't be there, guess what? You're a child of God. Been saved with the precious blood of Jesus. Sanctified, set apart for His holy use. And He says, if you believe in Jesus, have faith in Him, you will be doing these things. So let's start believing God. And it's not some special thing we have to will. This is in Jesus Christ. There is divine healing in Jesus Christ. So increase our faith, Lord, and each one of us, as your vessel, use us up for your glory. But we want to believe you and your word. It's about His word, y'all. Amen. Romans 10:17. Don't forget them. Romans 10:17. Time flies when you're having fun, let me tell you. Amen. I'm having fun. Anybody else having fun?
Yeah.
All right. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I'm not giving my opinion on what this is. We got to get back to what the word of God says. Yeah. This is what Jesus was doing. He said we will do these things and even greater. We're about to be doing what He's doing. Amen? Because He still desires, guess what? We're going to have a revival here in September. You want people to come here?
Yeah.
Well, I think Ann Riccadelli is going to be the testimony. Come see what God's doing through a divine healing. No, but you know what? In it all, we're going to start seeing God work and move. Because that's His heart. That's why. It's not because we're demanding. No, but we're going to stand on the promises of God and the truth of His word, trusting Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 8. You're saying, my gosh, can you stay in one place? No, I can't. Because God's word all throughout it, all throughout the Old and New Testament, God shows us healing. Mark 8, 22 through 26. Mark 8, 22 through 26 reads, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" First of all, half of us would be offended if Jesus, if someone did this to you. Really? You spit in my eyes? Jesus did this. But you know what? He asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." And so Jesus, for the second time, put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Now look at this. Jesus, you'd say, "My gosh, the Son of God had to do this twice." If the Son of God touched him two times with the spit on his eyes and he was totally restored, am I going to complain that he had to do it twice? Are we going to get impatient? We only have to do it once. What? You know, if we have to pray twice about something, isn't it unbelief? Have you heard that? I've heard that. Oh yeah, you didn't believe the first time. Oh, are you going to keep coming? Word of God? I want to be like a persistent widow. Remember her? She bugged the judge. Bugged him. He was ticked. Get her out of here. I'll do it. Get her out of here. Okay. I'd rather keep on coming. You believe to the end. You don't lose hope in God. Because how many times in the 11th or 12th hour has God showed up in your life? Anyone ever done that? That you thought you were at the end of your rope and you realized it was the beginning of His. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how God works. His economy is not, His ways are not our ways, y'all. And so we're going to keep contending. You say that one day a week, and I'm not going to specify you have to do a certain, you just do one day a week. If you want me to specify, I'll say every Friday. That's what the day I'm going to do. If you want to do it on Friday, if you have to do another day, but take that day, I mean dedicate it to God. Lord, you have shown us throughout your word that divine healing was important to the heart of your Father. And because of your word, because of your promise, we are going to continue to knock on heaven's door and ask for divine healing for our sisters, others that need healing and God's healing touch. I don't care. Guess what? The disciples had to start with what? A high fever. They didn't just start for, you know, they didn't start with fasting and praying and contending for a life-threatening disease. But Peter, remember his mother had a high fever. Started believing that. Remember the daughter that Peter, you know, went in and cleared everybody out. Why did he do that? Remember, Jesus did it before him. Cleared everyone else, all the professional mourners that were there, wailing and crying, "Oh, woe is us, she's dead, she's gone, get him out of here." And they start mocking and laughing Jesus on the way out. You notice they just turned it on and off. They were doing their job, supposedly. Then they're mocking Jesus and then raised him back to life. Peter does the same thing. Scriptures tell us, wow, they had to learn by experiencing. Guess what? Let's never be ashamed for believing God for what He can do. Amen. I don't care if it's in the course of the Lord or around people that don't know the Lord. They're going to think we're crazy anyway. Yep. And really, and maybe this pertains, I don't know, women and men are different. My wife is concerned many times of what people think. I really care less what people think. I mean, and I try to get my view over to my wife. And what do you mean? You know, that's why you look like a bum half the time. You know, all this and that. This morning, I want you to know I dressed not in front of a mirror because I didn't know I had a button missing. Okay? Praise God for my wife. She put a pin here so there's not a hole there because you probably thought the Holy Spirit would be shining through me today or something. It's just my farmer's cane. It would be a white light, but it would just be me, okay? And it wouldn't be abs, okay? I have insulation around my abs, so I don't like to show them off. Yeah, right. I haven't never seen them. but praise God, you know, and she goes, "You walked out of the house like that?" She went ahead to, like, work at 7 o'clock this morning. She's at the school with Allie, and I'm in the dark in my office, the light's off because there's enough light in the windows, and I'm just getting dressed and went right down, didn't figure. Got to her school and she looked at me, you know that look that, "You're going to church like that?" What do you mean, man? I got a shirt, jeans, I even ironed the front of them. Well, not the back, maybe, but the front, you know? You know how the guys do the minimum? You ever notice that? Now, guys, is anybody like me? Come on, man. Okay, maybe you don't, you know. I do the minimum, you know, look presentable. But this morning she just looked and I was like, well, that doesn't look good, does it? I can't be animated today. They're gonna be blinded by the whiteness of my farmer's tan. Amen. And praise God. That God helps us. Helps us. But I mean, to think about what the world's gonna think about us. You know what, as long as we can be ourselves and free in the Lord, there's a power to that, y'all. Because many times we think so much about what people are going to think. We can't pray here. We can't ask someone to pray. Guess what? We're finding out on a weekly basis. You can go in anywhere. And if someone's hurting, you can ask, you know, even, do you know the Lord? Do you know that God cares about you? Can I pray with you? And you know what? There may be some people that get ticked at you and tell you off. But you know what? Then you go on to the next person that the Holy Spirit leads you to. Because they're all around us. They are hurting. They are scared of this world. There are so many people that think this world is going crazy. And frankly, it is. It is. So they're truthful, but they just don't know where to turn. We do, and we better voice it. Amen? So, this is, did I read this passage? 8:22-26? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So he touched him twice. So let's go to Acts chapter 10. Give me a few more minutes. Give me 5 more minutes, if you would. Acts chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. This is where Peter has a vision. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. In other words, when you're praying and ministering to people, the Spirit of God may say something to you specific, but always be open for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to know why. You may be dealing with something, and he may say, this is the reason. Or give you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, as you're walking through this life. The Spirit of God, if we're really going to let him lead us, we're going to let him direct us, lead us. And he wants to speak to us. So that's a good thing. So see that at work. Matthew 17. And back and forth we go. Hallelujah. How many people are glad my wife put a pin in my hole? In my shirt. Amen. Anybody glad of that today? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 17. I can put my arms up and not worry about you. All right. Matthew 17, verses 19 and 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive this out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, we make fun of how small a mustard seed is, but guess what? To God, it matters. And the greatest thing, remember the unforgivable thing when we speak against the Spirit, Holy Spirit? Many times we have spoken against or believed in our hearts that this isn't going to happen. In other words, we're walking unbelief in our minds and in our hearts. We may say something in front of people in church, but guess what the reality is? That's why we have to cry out, increase our faith. Because I want you to know unbelief is the greatest hindrance to receiving healing. How do I know that? A whole generation lost their lives in the desert, remember? Because of unbelief. A number of times throughout Scripture, that is the key to when Jesus had freedom to move, heal, and do miracles, is when there was faith there. His church. May we cry out, increase our faith. May we cry out. Now there's a number of other passages, all in Acts. Acts chapter 9, I'm going to give them to you that you can take them home and look at them. Acts 9, verses 40 through 42. And that's when Peter sends everybody out of the room. He gets down on his knees and prays, turning toward the dead woman named Tabitha. He said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes. Seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. But listen to what it says at the end of this. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Why does God want to heal people in our midst? For many people. Joppa, how about Oxford and beyond? The news is going to get out that our God works miracles today. We read about it. We hear about it. Oh, man, it's happening all over the world. Why not here? And all I can attain through the scriptures, it must be because unbelief. Because today you get instant messages, instant reports, instant this. And you know what we do? When the report comes today and it's a good report, we're praise God. When the report comes bad and it's bad, same instant, where's God? God doesn't go like this, you know. We do. God doesn't even say, he doesn't even split it up to, this was a good day, this is a bad day. Do you realize? Look throughout your life. They're not made up of good, bad, and ugly days. They're made up of God with you through it all. And you know what? As far as I know, every day with God is a good day. Amen. Every day. We say, he's good all the time, and all the time he is good. That's the truth, despite of what you've heard today. He's good today, all day, every second. He is faithful, his promises are true, and he is with you. He does not guarantee, because yes, there's sometimes that he uses different things and different, and nobody wants to hurt, nobody wants to lose. But God never stops being a good, faithful God. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Write that down. Acts 4, 13 and 14. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. If anybody says anything about us, this is what I want them to say. That we're ordinary folks, these things shouldn't be happening with ordinary folks. It must be because of Jesus. And I hope they hear it from our own lips. This happened today. Don't look at us like we did something. Does that sound familiar? Why do you look at, remember Peter and John and the man that was over 40? That must be a key age, okay? Because it wasn't some young kid or someone that's lying. It's on this guy, we've seen him for years. And they said, why do you look at us like it's something strange, it's something that we did? He's standing before you today because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we're going to say the same thing. Why? That's what followers of Christ do. Everything, all the glory, always goes to him. Because he is worthy. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. I said I was just going to give the verses, and I keep reading them. Yes, I do. I just love to. The verses of God are awesome. Verses 7 through 12. On the first day of the week, came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. So I got some time. All right. No, I'm just kidding. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. As Paul talked on and on, it says, when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again, broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Do you notice? The death and the resurrection of this young man didn't even stop the service, though. That was midnight. He went on to daylight. And you think, I'm long-winded. How dare you? How dare you talk about my long-windedness? Amen. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. Oh my gosh, you went a half an hour over. Hey, this means he has to increase our faith in a lot of things. Let the pastor get out his message, because God's put it on his heart. And if it takes an extra half hour, can we not surrender to God and his ways and hear the word? Isn't that cool? He just gave me permission. Thank you. All right. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39. And I'm going to just write them down, y'all. Go back to them this week, man. If you're going to praise God. Luke 4, 38 and 39. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. They asked Jesus to help her. He bent over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Now look at this. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and wouldn't allow them to speak. You don't give demons the time of day. Remember, because they cannot tell the truth. They're always deceiving, deceiving, deceiving. Get you away from Jesus. Just one time, there's two times I've dealt with exercising demons from someone. Someone sat right in our living room one time. And we were concerned because she was attaching herself to me as a young pastor. This was in Charlton. We lived in Spencer and our two children. Allie was just a young baby. Jessica was only 12 years old. So he came to visit, unannounced, sat on the couch, and then spoke to us in the deepest guttural voice right out of her. And it wasn't her. And Rob and I remember ushered the children to the back room, closed the door, don't come out. And we called the elders. They got there in a hurry of a small church in Charlton. And we prayed with her for about 3 or 4 hours. And for a time, it wasn't pretty. We were thrown around the room like rag dolls. At the same time, we didn't give this demon the time of day. It tried to get us off of Jesus, anything but what had to be done. And we realized the word of God has to be the word of God. In the name of Jesus, silence to you. Do not speak again. And then addressed her. And then she came out of it and spoke to us in her voice, in reality. And she had to, with us, denounce this. And as she did, this demon had to flee because of the word of God in the name of Jesus. But boy, it was one of those experiences. It's real, y'all. Don't think it's not real today. When we have a revival, we're going to be praying for people. People are going to be healed. There's going to be the enemy trying to steal everything away from Jesus. That's why we got to be ready. It's not something to fear. Greater is he that is in you and he that is in this world. There's no competition. See, I don't care what the movie stores want to make you think that darkness wins. All these dark movies and all the things you see out there, and they see it like it's a close battle. No, it's not. It's lies and deception, trying to steal anything they can away from you as a child of God and from his glory. And when you bring the word of God and the truth of the word of God, that demon must go in the name of Jesus. It's not about a power struggle between you and them. It's about the truth and the lies. Praise his name. Acts 14, verses 8 through 10. In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. See, even as you're speaking these and as you're sharing, I pray that God will give you eyes to see someone that may have faith right there. And just call out in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sit there and say, man, but this, I want you to realize, as much as God co-labors with us, this is us believing the promises that are already in place. The living Word of God and Jesus Himself. All we're doing is aligning ourselves to walk as Jesus walked. Aren't you glad He didn't walk this earth by sight? Praise God. Aren't you glad they could look ahead at the cross of Calvary and see our sins being taken away? Our name in the book of life. Father, I am here for this reason, that their sins may be taken, forgiven, and now the opportunity to follow God. Hallelujah. Mark 3, 1 through 6. And I'm going to end with one passage, all right? Mark 3, 1 through 6. Another time he went into the synagogue, a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But the leaders remained silent. He looked around them in anger. Now Jesus was angry and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Let's not get Jesus distressed with us. Anybody, if you know you have a stubborn heart, it's time to surrender it to the Lord. Because He wants to do some incredible things in our midst. He doesn't want you to miss out. But that deeply distressed him, and yet he still said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees, of course, went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Because he healed on the Sabbath. Aren't you glad every day is the Lord's? He can heal today as well as tomorrow. Can you believe it? God can heal on a Monday morning. You can hardly get out of bed. Some days we think we can't function if we don't have Dunkin' Donuts. But God heals every day. Praise His name. See, the key is, if we're going to believe, people are going to be around this. These things are going to be happening around us. People are going to be genuinely healed. They're going to be giving God all the credit. People are going to be saved. So let's realize the world's watching us already, and they will know us by our fruit.
Amen.
By our fruit. So we're going to get down to the place, y'all, His church. If we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus, they're going to see these things happen. If they don't, there's something wrong, and it's not with God. It's going to be a people that say, surrender. I'm going to surrender to you and your ways. I'm going to believe your word and your promises. But I'm going to give you three more passages to write down. This is it. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 17. And 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Now those are key to maybe being with someone that's been with the Lord a long time, because you see that their priorities start changing. When you're with someone that's been with the Lord a long time, and maybe you haven't been as long, and you watch them and you see them, and you start seeing, why does heaven seem to be more important than here? And you sometimes don't understand that. And don't you care about us? Yeah. You notice the older you get, the longer you're with the Lord. Yeah, you'd like to hang around, but really I'd rather. The Lord is close. You know, this life goes by quick. And you know what you're going to find out in this 1 Peter passage? There's comfort there. It's comfort in the words of God. But I want you to go back and see throughout Scripture there are many vehicles, different ways Jesus healed, different, some were instantaneous, some had to go wash, some had to, you know, spit and put things on their eyes a couple times. other people, watch what Jesus did, was led. It's always being led by the Spirit of God. This is, again, getting to know God time. If you want to look at Jesus and say, what are the things that are important to God? Salvation, healing, the poor and the needy. Those are the things that seem to be the most important to be delivered from the evil one. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. He's got many in his clutches that need to be freed. Those are the things that were important to God. Those are the things that Jesus did. Those are the things that we will do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that we're going to stand upon your promise. Today, before we go, Father, we're going to pray over Ann again. We're going to pray for Melissa again. We're going to keep knocking on heaven's door. Not because we stand in unbelief, but we're just going to keep being persistent. We're going to be consistent with our prayers. We're asking for miracles. We're asking for divine healing. We're asking that you would intervene despite of what things look like. Lord, we ask that you move despite of what we feel like, because you have called us to walk this world by faith. In other words, looking to you, looking at the things that are invisible, those eternal things, and trusting you, one whom we've never seen. So by faith, we're not only crying out to you, we're asking that you may do the things again, Jesus, through your church, that we would be willing, surrendered vessels to say we want to follow in your footsteps. Not what we think church should be, not what we've become accustomed to. If it's been for our comfort, that's not what church is. Father, forgive us if we think church is a building. Church, Holy Spirit, you reside within us, men and women. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Continue to lead and guide our lives as we surrender ourselves. And yes, we will ask that you may divinely heal Melissa, that you will touch Anne's body, and where a machine might have lit red, I pray it will be the fire of the Holy Spirit. Not some other red that counts for this or counts for that or numbers, Lord. They can give us all the numbers they want to. The only number that matters is this one true living God that heals. And we ask again that she may be healed in Jesus' name. That you would touch Melissa and anxiety be gone. Worry about tomorrows be gone. Peace of Jesus, guard her heart and mind as you bring healing to her. But Lord God, as we await and see the manifestation of your healing, whether it's in a moment, in a day, in a week, in a month, we will praise you and thank you. We will trust you in that time because you've asked us to do it until the end. May we persevere for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.